Chapter 66. Mr. W pocketed his staff and looked at the division. The division pocketed their staves and looked at Messrs. Tubman and Pickwick. Mr. Pickwick and his followers rose as one man. What is the meaning of this atrocious intrusion upon my privacy? Said Mr. Pickwick. Who dares apprehend me? Said Mr. Tubman. What do you want here, scoundrels? Said Mr. Snodgrass. Mr. Winkle said nothing, but he fixed his eyes on Grummer, and bestowed a look upon him, which, if he had had any feeling, must have pierced his brain. As it was, however, it had no visible effect on him whatever. When the executive perceived that Mr. Pickwick and his friends were disposed to resist the authority of the law, they very significantly turned up their coat sleeves, as if knocking them down in the first instance, and taking them up afterwards, were a mere professional act which had only to be thought of to be done, as a matter of course. This demonstration was not lost upon Mr. Pickwick. He conferred a few moments with Mr. Tubman apart, and then signified his readiness to proceed to the mayor's residence, merely begging the parties then and there assembled to take notice that it was his firm intention to resent this monstrous invasion of his privileges as an Englishman the instant he was at liberty. Whereat the parties then, and there assembled laughed very heartily, with the single exception of Mr. Grummer, who seemed to consider that any slight cast upon the divine right of magistrates was a species of blasphemy not to be tolerated. But when Mr. Pickwick had signified his readiness to bow to the laws of his country, and just when the waiters, and hostlers, and chambermaids, and postboys, who had anticipated a delightful commotion from his threatened obstinacy, began to turn away, disappointed and disgusted, a difficulty arose which had not been foreseen. With every sentiment of veneration for the constituted authorities, Mr. Pickwick resolutely protested against making his appearance in the public streets, surrounded and guarded by the officers of justice, like a common criminal. Mr. Grummer, in the then disturbed state of public feeling, for it was half-holiday, and the boys had not yet gone home, as resolutely protested against walking on the opposite side of the way, and taking Mr. Pickwick's parole that he would go straight to the magistrates. And both Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Tubman as strenuously objected to the expense of a postcoach, which was the only respectable conveyance that could be obtained. The dispute ran high, and the dilemma lasted long, and just as the executive were on the point of overcoming Mr. Pickwick's objection to walking to the magistrates, by the trite expedient of carrying him thither, it was recollected that there stood in the inn yard an old sedan chair, which, having been originally built for a gouty gentleman with funded property, would hold Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Tubman, at least as conveniently as a modern postchaise. The chair was hired, and brought into the hall. Mr. Pickwick and Mr. Tubman squeezed themselves inside, and pulled down the blinds. A couple of chairmen were speedily found, and the procession started in grand order. The specials surrounded the body of the vehicle. Mr. Grummer and Mr. W marched triumphantly in front. Mr. Snodgrass and Mr. Winkle walked arm in arm behind, and the unsoaped of Ipswich brought up the rear. The shopkeepers of the town, although they had a very indistinct notion of the nature of the offense, could not but be much edified and gratified by this spectacle. Here was the strong arm of the law, coming down with 20 gold-beater force, upon two offenders from the metropolis itself. The mighty engine was directed by their own magistrate, and worked by their own officers, and both the criminals, by their united efforts, were securely shut up, in the narrow compass of one sedan chair. Many were the expressions of approval and admiration which greeted Mr. Grummer, as he headed the cavalcade, staff in hand. Loud and long were the shouts raised by the unsoaped, and amidst these united testimonials of public approbation, the procession moved slowly and majestically along. Mr. Weller, habited in his morning jacket, with the black calico sleeves, was returning in a rather desponding state from an unsuccessful survey of the mysterious house with the green gate, when, raising his eyes, he beheld a crowd pouring down the street, surrounding an object which had very much the appearance of a sedan chair. Willing to divert his thoughts from the failure of his enterprise, he stepped aside to see the crowd pass, and finding that they were cheering away, very much to their own satisfaction, forthwith began, by way of raising his spirits, to cheer too, with all his might and main. Mr. Grummer passed, and Mr. Doubly passed, and the sedan passed, and the bodyguard of specials passed, and Sam was still responding to the enthusiastic cheers of the mob, and waving his hat about, as if he were in the very last extreme of the wildest joy. Though, of course, he had not the faintest idea of the matter in hand, when he was suddenly stopped by the unexpected appearance of Mr. Winkle and Mr. Snodgrass. "What's the row, gentlemen?" apostrophe cried Sam. "Who have they got in this here watchbox in mornin'?" Apostrophe apostrophe, both gentlemen replied together, but their words were lost in the tumult. "Who is it?" Apostrophe apostrophe cried Sam again. Once more was a joint reply returned, and, though the words were inaudible, Sam saw by the motion of the two pairs of lips that they had uttered the magic word Pickwick. Apostrophe, this was enough. In another minute Mr. Weller had made his way through the crowd, stopped the chairman, and confronted the portly Grummer. "Hallo, old gentleman," apostrophe apostrophe said Sam. "Who have you got in this here conveyance?" Apostrophe apostrophe, "Stand back," apostrophe said Mr. Grummer, whose dignity, like the dignity of a great many other men, had been wondrously augmented by a little popularity. "Knock him down, if he don't," apostrophe said Mr. Doubly. "I'm very much obliged to you, old gentleman," apostrophe replied Sam, "for consulting my convenience, and I'm still more obliged to the other gentleman, who looks as if he'd just escaped from a giant's caravan, for his worry and some suggestion. But I should prefer your giving me an answer to my question, if it's all the same to you. How are you, sir?" Apostrophe apostrophe, this last observation was addressed with a patronizing air to Mr. Pickwick, who was peeping through the front window. Mr. Grummer, perfectly speechless with indignation, dragged the truncheon with the brass crown from its particular pocket, and flourished it before Sam's eyes. "Ah," apostrophe said Sam, "it's very pretty, specially the crown, which is uncommon like the real one." Apostrophe, "stand back," apostrophe apostrophe said the outraged Mr. Grummer. By way of adding force to the command, he thrust the brass emblem of royalty into Sam's neckcloth with one hand, and seized Sam's collar with the other, a compliment which Mr. Weller returned by knocking him down out of hand, having previously with the utmost consideration knocked down a chairman for him to lie upon. Whether Mr. Winkle was seized with a temporary attack of that species of insanity which originates in a sense of injury, or animated by this display of Mr. Weller's valor, is uncertain, but certain it is that he no sooner saw Mr. Grummer fall than he made a terrific onslaught on a small boy who stood next him, whereupon Mr. Snodgrass, in a truly Christian spirit, and in order that he might take no one unawares, announced in a very loud tone that he was going to begin, and proceeded to take off his coat with the utmost deliberation. He was immediately surrounded and secured, and it is but common justice both to him and Mr. Winkle to say that they did not make the slightest attempt to rescue either themselves or Mr. Weller, who, after a most vigorous resistance, was overpowered by numbers and taken prisoner. The procession then reformed, the chairmen resumed their stations, and the march was recommenced. Mr. Pickwick's indignation during the whole of this proceeding was beyond all bounds. He could just see Sam upsetting the specials and flying about in every direction, and that was all he could see, for the sedan doors wouldn't open, and the blinds wouldn't pull up. At length, with the assistance of Mr. Tubman, he managed to push open the roof, and mounting on the seat, and steadying himself as well as he could, by placing his hand on that gentleman's shoulder, Mr. Pickwick proceeded to address the multitude, to dwell upon the unjustifiable manner in which he had been treated, and to call upon them to take notice that his servant had been first assaulted. In this order they reached the magistrate's house, the chairman trotting, the prisoners following, Mr. Pickwick orderizing, and the crowd shouting. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.